a little bit later. The message this evening is going to be entitled, When a Soul is Saved. What takes place when a soul is saved. Let me go ahead and give you the outline, and I think it might help you a little bit better to look at it. It's going to be 7 points in it. I don't know how long it's going to take. If I say it's going to take very long, I'll cut it. But when a soul is saved, what should you see when a soul is saved? Y'all agree with me tonight that if someone's been born again, there should be evidence of it. I always look for that. I get excited when people make professions of faith, like I say all the time, but I like to see people change. And if they don't change, I think there's something wrong with it. All God's people say it. Because I think the old things, the scripture says, old things pass away, all things becomes new. And if someone's not new, they just something wrong. There's a lot of people that do that. I've seen a lot of people that do that. They'll make it. I think there's a lot of professions that are dead. I do. I think there's a lot of professions of faith that people makes, and they're just dead as a doornail. It hadn't changed them a bit. They don't serve the Lord, and they don't seek to please the Lord at all. And I just think there's something wrong with it. And I get excited when people get saved, as I told you a million times. But I look for people to change. All God's people say it. There should be a change of conduct in people when they're born again. And I think that's important. So when a soul is saved, what should you see? And I'm going to give you 7 things that you should see if you're born again. Number one, 1 Corinthians 12 and the verse 3 says, "Wherefore I give you to understand, brethren, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is the one that makes you alive in the new birth. We talk about being born again. And what the new birth is when the Lord opens your heart and opens your understanding, then you have an understanding of what salvation is. And you trust Jesus as your Savior. That's the most important thing you can have. So no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings that in you. Let's use Stewie as an example. The day that he was saved here at Elizabeth Baptist Church, when he was saved, he came in before Sunday school. And the conviction, there's conviction there. He realized he was lost, and he realized he could have died at any time. So what did he do? Oh, man, he came in, and that's when he said, I want to get saved. I want to get saved right now, and I don't want to wait till the end of the meeting. Well, that's what it does to you. When the old Mount Zion gets a hold of you, conviction gets a hold of you, you want it. That's what it comes down to. You want it. And it's not something that someone pushes you into. It's something you want because the Lord makes you alive. And you understand it and you see it. And I love to see that happen. And what else does it do? It causes you to change. And that's why it says old things pass away, all things become new. Okay? Now, what he does is he opens your heart. In Acts chapter 16, we know about Lydia, the seller of purple. Remember, she sold purple dye. And the Bible said that whose heart the Lord opened. So he opened her heart. What's that mean, to open your heart? It means to open your understanding. Basically, when you're talking about your heart, you're kind of talking about your mind. It's talking about your mind. So it's important that we understand what they are, for one thing, and it's an important thing that you know that salvation is open to those who want it. There has to be a want. I mean, for somebody to be born again, there has to be people that want that. Why would you not want it? I know people that are lost, but they don't have no desire to. They believe, they say they believe in it, but for some reason they don't make a profession. They don't tell others about the Lord, and they don't have no seemingly zeal to try to reach spiritual things for other people, especially people in their family. I think there's a lot of people that profess faith that are lost, just to be blunt about it. I think there's a lot of people that make professions of faith, but they just don't have no desire to serve the Lord. You see, when you're born again, what's different is you have a desire to serve Him, and you're supposed to serve Him how long? All the days of your life. Now, that's not saying that you believe you're saved by your works, but when you're born again, you're going to do good works. You're not doing it to get saved. You're doing it because you love Jesus. I want to live in such a way as it brings glory, honor, and praise to my King. I want to be faithful. That's what I want to be. And I think that should be true of everybody that's born again. Do y'all agree? Everybody that's born again should be what? Faithful. And we, you know, the scripture says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So He expects us to be faithful in his work. And let's go and move down to the next text. There is an inward call of the Holy Spirit, and that's salvation. And what I was showing you there is how important it is to have salvation, but also with the fruits that goes with it. There should be fruits that goes with it. When someone doesn't have fruit, I wonder about that. Do you too? If there's no fruit there, there's something wrong. And I don't know, some of the hardest funerals I ever do, because first of all, I can't read their heart. I can read how they live and what they do, but I can't read it that way. And what I look for in someone that's made a profession of faith of Jesus, I look for a change. I look for people who want to worship. I look for people that like to pray and get in touch with the Lord. I like to look for people to use their talents to reach out for other people. I look for all those things. Lord didn't save us to sit. He saved us to serve. He saved us to serve. And He expects us to serve Him. And there's so many different ways to serve, and that's a whole another sermon. But you see what I'm saying. God's people need to serve the Lord, and that's our main thing. If Jesus would come today and we'd stand before Him, there's going to be a time of accountability with what you did, with what Jesus did, gave you. I know that. What I would want more than anything else, me as a pastor, you as a church, and Christians, I would hope that we would want to hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I feel that way. I want that, not for bragging purposes. It's not for that. Not for bragging purposes, just to show how much you love Jesus. That's why you do it. Will you sing a song here? I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. That's why I serve. Listen to me. Jeff Arthur's already saved. I'm already born again. Really? The Holy Spirit's in me. Isn't it wonderful to have the Holy Spirit in you? And when it's that way, whether Jesus comes or you die, you go. All God's people said, that's a big deal. I know where I'm going. I don't. I say it all the time, you know, we all talk about death a good bit, but there'll be a day, if the Lord doesn't come, that it's going to come our way. I believe there's a time for it, do y'all? I believe God sets your time. I don't know when my time is, and neither do you. Nobody knows their time, but you got one. You got one. So I want to be about the Lord's business the whole way. I don't want to start and fall backwards and all these things, what a lot of folks do. I want to be faithful all my days. And I've told you this before too. I want to be faithful in the house. I don't want to be faithful in public and not faithful in my house. You see what I'm trying to say? There's a lot of people that are different in their house than they are in the church house. And I think that's nothing but hypocrisy. I want to be real in this pulpit. I want to be, when I worked on a job, I wanted to be real on the job. And I wanted people to see Jesus in me, not for bragging purposes of me, just because I want to exalt my Savior. All God's people say it. Well, it's supposed to be. And that's how God would have us to be. So, let's move down to the second part. Number two, the first point we looked at was there's an inward call of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about how He works on our hearts. Verse two, there is a preaching. There needs to be a preaching of the Word. Scripture says, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We've talked about that already for a good bit, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. Scripture says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. You know, people think preaching is foolishness. For a lost man or a sinner man, and when you talk about preaching, they just think that's a waste of time. But man, when a sinner man is convicted of their sin, they see things a whole lot different. When there's conviction that takes hold of a sinner person's heart, it changes how they live. It changes what they do. All of these things. And that's what you look for when someone has been born again. There's an inward call of the Holy Spirit. Number two, there's a preaching of the Word. People need to hear the preaching. People need to study the Word. Because each one of us as individuals, each one of us as individuals, we're warriors. We're servants. We're all working to please the Lord. And that's what I want to do. What's my goal of life? I want to please Jesus. That's what I want to do more than anything else is I want to please Jesus. That's what I want to do. I want to be what He would have me be. I want to be what He would have me be. I want to be faithful. Number three. So there is a trusting in the heart. Let's look at Romans chapter 10 now. This is the third one. I'm going to try to get all this in this evening. Romans chapter 10. And this is a common salvation text. I've used it a lot over the years. Romans 10 and the verse 9. Romans 10 and 9. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that's a confession. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And that will happen when someone gets born again. Do y'all agree? They'll want to tell somebody about it. Stewie got saved, when he got saved, he came an hour before the church service started because the conviction was that strong on him that day. I fear that he felt that, could you die at any time? That's the way he acted. It was, he was just pushed to get saved. And who pushed him was the Holy Spirit. He opened his heart, man, and you won it then. You won it, and he had to have it. That's what salvation does. Holy men of God, when the Scripture touches a person's heart, man, that conviction is really strong on a person. And that's the way it was for Stewie, and many others can tell you the same thing. Man, I'm afraid of my... I've heard people say, "Well, Jeff, I was afraid I might die before I got home, so I wanted to get saved right now." Could you die before you got home? Sometimes people say, "Well, I'm going to wait to go back to church tonight." Don't ever wait. Don't ever wait. You don't know you got another hour on this earth. If you believe it's true, and you trust it, you trust Him as your Savior, and He'll give you everlasting eternal life. So there's a trusting in the heart, and that's what happened when I was born again. I trusted Him. I trusted that He died for... You know really what we trust, don't we? I believe what this Bible said is true. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? I get nervous when people say, "Well, but I feel a whole lot better." Well, I'm glad you feel good. But I want to know why you're saying, telling me you're saved. If you say you're saved, then you'll understand about the gospel. You'll understand about salvation. You'll know what it's about. And the Holy Spirit will show it to you. And it'll change you. You'll be different than you were before. It's almost like another person. Can I say it again? It's almost like another person. Stewie was another person. Eddie was another person. One time I was a different person. But that changes you. And it's the Holy Spirit that does it. And He does it in salvation. And He opens the heart and opens the understanding and draws you to Him. But who gets the glory for all of it? Holy Spirit does, man. And there's nothing any greater than that. All right, number four. There is a calling. There is a calling. This is number four. There is a calling on His name. You'll call for salvation. The thief on the cross is the best example of that. I've used it a lot. But the thief on the cross is a good example of that. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And He said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." And paradise is just another word for heaven. That's what we want for our families, isn't it? I want them to have this. This is priceless, what we're talking about. He saved that thief right there on the cross, and he was a sinner, man, with nothing to offer. A thief. And he saved that man. Wonder why he saved him then. He could have saved him any other time, couldn't he? Why did he save him then? Why did he do it that way? To show you exactly how God saves a sinner. He showed him exactly. And you see it right there. "Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And he will. All right, stay with me now. There is a calling on the Holy Spirit. And the thief on the cross is a good example of that. Okay, number five. There is a confession of the mouth. I think people should tell folks when they're born again. Or make it public. I don't think you keep that in your heart, and because I've had people do that to me before. I witnessed to a man one time, and he said, "Well, yeah, I see what you're saying, and I believe it." And then he turned right around and said, "But I don't want nobody to know." That's what he said. I said, buddy, if you don't want nobody to know, then you still ain't where you're supposed to be. When you're born again, you want other people to know. One of the reasons you do a baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Why wouldn't you want anybody to know? If someone saved you from an eternity in hell, you wouldn't want other people to know? You know what that told me? He didn't have it. He just didn't have it. Because when you're born again, you want people to know. Oh, it tickles me to death. Sometimes somebody will knock on the door, and maybe you've been witnessing to them for years, and then they'll knock on the door and say, Jeff, I know you witnessed to me up at the plant, and you witnessed here and that, and you know, different places. And I just wanted to come and tell you, I wanted you to be the first one because you witnessed to me. You witnessed to me. And I just want you to know now I'm born again and serving the Lord. It's a wonderful place to be. Love to see people do that. But you wanna hear it. I thank God not only is it in your heart, but I think also that people should share it. And share it with other people. Tell them how they saved you. That's a good way. Tell them how it saved you. So there is a confession with the mouth. Baptism, beloved, don't save you. Because I wrote that down because I wanted to mention it. Baptism doesn't save you, but baptism is how you make it public. It's how you make it public. Well, you don't have to be baptized. I think baptism is a command. I think it's a command. People look at baptism as being optional. It's not optional. Well, don't save you. I understand that. It's disobedience not to follow him into ordinances. That's disobedience. That's what he's... Beloved, it's how you make it. It gives honor and praise to the Lord. It's how it's supposed to be. Okay? So there's confession with the mouth. And baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You know that very well. And people should mind that. Matthew 28. Yeah, you should mind that. That's what you should do. All right, verse 6. I just got two more. I'm going to go ahead and finish it. There is a change in conduct, too. I've just mentioned that to you. There will always be a change of conduct. Let me say it one more time. There will always be a change of conduct. And if there's not a change of conduct, there's something wrong with it. Because I look for people to change. I worked different kinds of jobs for years, and I witnessed to many as I could, you know, many as I could. And without, you know, I always tried to work hard too, but I tried to witness, you know, to everybody on the job. It really is what I tried to do some way, or give them a track to listen to and all these things. But you still look for people to change. When they make a profession of faith, you look for a change. If there's no change, there's something wrong. Every time. All right, number 7. This will be the last one. This is number 7. There is a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. I have a hunger and a thirst for spiritual things. All God's people say it. Now, beloved, I don't understand when someone's born again that they don't have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. I don't understand that. I understand it happens, but it's definitely adrift. You agree? Something ain't right. And, beloved, I want to tell you something. I fear the Lord. There's times that I've told people, I said, but you know, I'd be afraid to live that way. I really would. I'd be afraid to do that. Be afraid to do that. So he wants you to hunger and thirst after what? He wants you to hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. That's what he wants you to do. Not to get saved, but because you are saved. That's what will happen. You'll have a hunger for spiritual things, and you'll have a hunger after righteousness. You'll have all those kinds of things. Because it changes your life. We look for people to be changed. We do. We look for people to serve the Lord. We do. So those are seven points. There's an inward call. There's a preaching of the word. Number three, there's a trusting in the heart. There's a calling on his name. There's a confession with the mouth. I mentioned baptism under that one too. There is also a change in conduct. There will always be a change of conduct when someone's born again, when it's true. And then number seven, there is a hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. All God's people say it. We'll stop with that. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention.